there's no place in the Bible that shows any more beautifully or graphically the two natures of our Lord than does Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 30. Our Lord has just been upbraiding the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. He had just said such stern words as, "Woe unto you, Chorazin, and of thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works that done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes." And he goes on to say, "I say it'd be more tolerable for you, or in the land of Sodom, at the day of judgment, than for thee." These strong statements to these cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, in which our Lord had done so many marvelous works. And now these cities have rejected him, and he pronounces judgment upon them. In the same breath, nearly, that he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida," he stops almost abruptly after his pronouncing of judgment upon these cities and says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You see, God says, "Chorazin, judgment's going to fall on you. But in case there's anybody in Chorazin that wants some rest, I'll give it to you. Bethsaida, it's more tolerable for you in the judgment, or for Sodom and Gomorrah, than for you in the judgment. The mighty works that had been done in thee have been done in Tyre and Sidon that had been a long time ago." And then you see the other side of him when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." One of the most beautiful invitations in all the Bible. Come. I'm getting a sermon on that one word. Just that one word. That's all you got to do to get saved. If you know the plan of salvation, you just come. That's it. Most all-inclusive word of all. Didn't say, come with your baptism. It just says, come. Doesn't say, come with your good works. It just says, come. Doesn't say, come with your church membership. It just says, come. Doesn't say, come with your new leaf. It just says, come. That's it. Come. Him that cometh. That's all. Come. Come. Where? Unto me. Unto Jesus. Not come to the church. Not come to the Pope. Not come to the confessional booth. Not come to the baptismal fount or font. Not come to confirmation service. Come unto me. Come unto me. Said it 10,000 times. I'll say it 10,000 more. God lets me live. You don't get saved because you come to the church. You get saved because you come to the Savior. Salvation is not in a dogma. It's in a person. Come unto me. Who can come? All. It means the rich. But it also means the poor. It means the learning. Also means the unlearning. Means the seeing. Also means the blind. Means the hearing. Also means the deaf. Means the good. Also means the bad. Means the respectable citizen. Also means the criminal. All. Come to me. All. Those in the country and in the city. Those rich and those poor. Those high on the social ladder and those holding up the ladder. Come. All. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the most beautiful invitations in all the Bible is Matthew 11, 29. Now listen carefully. I want to surprise you. Anybody can have rest that wants it. Now, of course, there are two rests here. There's the rest of salvation. And I'm not going to spend any time on that, except to say that is when you quit trying to save yourself and rest in the Lord. But I'm talking tonight not about that rest. I'm talking about the rest. Jesus said, "Ye shall find
rest unto your souls. Now, how can you find rest? How can the frustrated believer find peace of mind? How can the child of God who's come to Jesus for rest concerning his eternal soul, how can he find rest as a Christian? How can he find contentment? How can he find satisfaction? How can he find security and assurance? The rest, not the rest of being saved. He's talking to those that have rested on Jesus' salvation. Now he says, I'll give you rest. Now how? How? Very interesting. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How do you find rest? Take his yoke upon you. What? That's the way you find rest? You mean to tell me that an old ox out here? Son, wake up on the front. John, punch him there. You listen to me, son. If you're going to take a nap, go home, go to bed. I want you to hear me. Everybody. That goes for deacons, too. Everybody. I'm saying that you come out to an oxen, and the old oxen says, one of those talking oxen, and or singing one. But anyway, he says, you say, you want some rest? And the old ox says, yeah. How can I find it? Says, get a yoke. Go to work. What? What? Now then, the difference in a bridle and a yoke. A bridle, you're going to take a horseback ride, you put the bridle on a horse, and you ride across the field, or ride across the meadow, and with a bridle. But the Lord didn't say, take my bridle upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He said, take my yoke. Now, we have the strange idea that the way you find rest is get the bridle, have a day off, have some fun, take a horseback ride, go to the ball game. That's where you find rest. But on his truth, the Lord said, you want to find rest? He said, take my yoke upon you. What's he saying? He's saying, work! That's where you find rest. Why, you say, Brother Hyam, I rest on a day off. Silliest thing I ever heard of. No, sir. Listen, you're more tired on Christmas night than in that year. You don't find rest by the bridle. You find rest with the yoke. You say, I don't believe it. Take it up with the one that said it. He said, you want rest? He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke is for work. A yoke of oxen. They pull together, and they pull the load or pull the plow, and they're working. And Jesus said, you want rest? Take my yoke upon you. And that's the way you get rest. What? Another burden? Hey, I was driving home the other night and turned the radio on, and they're advertising a book or so on how to be happy during the holidays. No joke. And there's several books about it. Several. How to be happy during the holidays. How you can go through the holidays. One guy's got a book on how to keep committing suicide during the holidays. And there are a lot of books out, and articles written on how to be happy during the holidays. Now, the truth is, I don't have any books out how to be happy while you're working. You see, the strange thing is, we talk about, boy, going to have a good, Merry Christmas to you. Then read a book on how to be happy during Christmas. Let me tell you something, folks. This old mixed up world is miserable tonight. Because she forgot how to work. She wants the bridle instead of the yoke. The Lord didn't say, you want rest? Take my bridle upon you. No, sir. Rest is not from frolicking across the field for a nice little ride. Rest is not having a holiday. Rest is not taking a day off. Rest is not sleeping till 11 o'clock in the morning. Rest is not the bridle. Rest is yoke, the yoke. The yoke. That's where you find rest. And that's what Jesus said. He said, if you want to find rest, take my yoke upon you. You know, I know the fundamentalists of America pretty well. I hesitate to say this, but I probably know the fundamentalist people of America as well or better than any other man in this nation. I know them. And the happiest ones are those who are in the yoke. The busy ones. Our churches aren't being, trouble's not causing our churches for the ones that are in the yoke. The ones in the bridle. Not the workers, it's the players. Not the yoke wearers, the bridle wearers. I mean the folks in the yoke. That's the happy crowd. That's the crowd that has peace. That's the crowd that has rest. Our Lord Jesus knew that when he said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The most miserable people in this room tonight are those who are wearing a bridle instead of a yoke. Most miserable folks in this room tonight are those who play the most. Do you hear me? The more you play, the more you need rest. Jesus said, are you under the carrying the load of playing? He said, come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, you shall find rest for your souls. You know, you people that are up in years, like 56, the best thing that ever happened to you is keep the yoke on you. Keep the yoke on you. I thank God for those ladies in our church and men. I miss them all. Wally McCarroll, still working on a bus route. In his 70s. You won't find a happier man than Wally McCarroll. I mean it. One of the happiest men. He got a bunch of corny jokes. He's always telling me one. And he can't tell them. And the ones he tells are not funny. But, oh, he comes in, laughs at them, and I do too. One of the finest men I know. In his 70s. My mother started the first bus route in the LaVon Drive Baptist Church of Garland, Texas, when she was in her 70s. Yeah. And if she'd get one now, she'd be a heap happier. Nothing wrong with mother. The 8 hours on a bus route couldn't kill her every Saturday.
But somebody said, Brother Hyle, I'm getting up in years. It's time to rest. Good. Then take responsibility. Well, you say, preacher, I'm old enough now. I need to rest a while. Good. Are you going to take your kind of rest or Jesus' kind of rest? Huh? Oh, Brother Hiles, I'm 75 years old. I deserve a rest. Good. Then get in the yoke. You say, preacher, I'm not talking about that kind of rest. I know. You're talking about the kind of rest where you pop pills and get nervous and go from one doctor to the other. I'm talking about the kind of rest where you get in the yoke and work. And Jesus said, if you want rest, he said, get in the yoke. Now, you think you get out of the yoke and get rest. Jesus said, you get in the yoke and get rest. He said, I just can't see it. You don't have to see it, but you better believe it. Because Jesus said it. He said, you want rest? He said, take my yoke upon you. You know, most suicides in this country, practically all of them, are committed by people wearing a bridle instead of a yoke. Most of the people that go to psychiatrists and psychologists, they got that way because they were not in the yoke instead of being in the yoke. A person that gets up in the morning at the same time every day has a yoke that he takes up and gets in the yoke, and he works the same hours every day and then goes home same hour at night and gets up the next morning at the same time and bears his yoke. That's a person that doesn't have as many problems as a person that's just in the bridle all the time or without the yoke. Now, you listen to me. You say, well, I can't see that. You don't have to see it, but if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's true. He said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, here I am. What bed do you want me to sleep in? Hey, come unto me, he said. I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, what the reclining chair want me to sit in? Come unto me, he said. I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, what vibrating chair or bed should I sit in or lie in? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, what swimming pool should I go swimming in? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, what ball game should I go to? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Okay, Lord, I'm here. I came to you now. Where's the rest? I don't see any chairs. I don't see anything but a bunch of yokes around here and a job to do. And the Lord said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to him. What is to do? He fits you for a yoke and puts you to work.
And that's the way you get rest. You know,
that is the problem with our young people. It is the biggest problem with our young people. These young people around the country, rock music crowd and suicide crowd and miserable crowd and have, listen, young people, the reason you take your dope is because you can't get on a high loafing. And the reason that you are miserable and want your dope so you can get on a high. And the reason that you do it is because moms and dads didn't love you enough to give you a yoke. Lamentations 3:27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. These young people are, do you know that the number one problem in the public school system in America today on young people is becoming suicides? Suicides. Did you know that more suicides now, they say, are committed by young people than old people? You'd think you commit suicide when you think life is over. You've lost your kick. You've lost your looks. You lost your excitement. You lost your youth. You'd think that's when. But the truth is, you give me a person 80 years old who's in his yoke, he'll have more rest than a person who's 18 years old who has no yoke. Your parents, listen, you are robbing your children of peace when you let them live the life of luxury and the life of Riley. Bible says that a child ought to bear the yoke. A young person ought to bear the yoke. What does it mean? It means young person ought to work. It means the child ought to work. And by the way, if Jeremiah said it's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, then Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You shall find rest for your souls. Then what Jeremiah was saying is, young people, you want some rest? Bear the yoke. I want to tell you kids something. And I'm not, I don't know whatever happened. To where work became a bad word. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. But you parents, we parent. We are the stupidest people in the world when we say to our kids, okay, you've been a bad boy, you've broken the rules, go clean the basement. That's the dumbest thing I've heard in my life. You ought to leave your brain to the Smithsonian Institute. Child's that high. Child, what does the little child want? What does the little girl, 2, 3, 4, 5, want for Christmas? She wants a doll. Why does she want a doll? She wants ones that messes up its diapers, right? Huh? Little girls, you want a Betsy Wetsy or a Drowsy Wisey? You want one has changed diapers. Why? Because if there's something in the child makes you want to work. What's a little girl want for Christmas? She wants a child's vacuum cleaner. What's a little girl want for Christmas? She wants some dishes. What does a girl want for Christmas? She wants an iron and an ironing board. Why? Because there's something in a child that makes him want to work. And parents run it all. The child said, Mommy, can I make my own bed? Oh, you're not old enough to do it. When you get older, they won't want to. But you see, for the house, they don't know how to make the bed well. Forget about making beds well. Think about rearing children well. Making a bed is not to make a pretty bed. Make a pretty child. Yoke. Go. What's the boy want for Christmas? The boy, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's he want? Wants a tool set. Saw. Hammer. What's he want? Wants a child's lawnmower. Why? Because a little child wants to work. There's not a child in this room, not a person in this room. But when you were little, you wanted to help daddy work. You wanted to help daddy. You wanted to drive. You want them. Help daddy hammer. Help daddy saw. Daddy, can I help you mow the yard? Daddy, help you clean the basement. What happened? Hey, what happened? We parents have gotten a place where we punish our children by work. You ought to say, son, you be a good boy, and guess what you get to do?
What?
You get to clean the basement.
Oh, goody, 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 goody.
Now, you laugh at that, but that's what he wanted to do to you, ruined him. But you say, you be a good boy, and I'll take you to the ball game. You be a good boy, I'll take you to the zoo. You be a good boy, and I'll take you to the park. But if you're bad, you clean that basement. You mow that yard. Now, the truth is, that boy, there's an age in that boy's life where he'd rather mow the yard than go to the park. Oh, my soul. There's one thing America needs. It's to dignify work again. And I mean work. Honest, I'm not kidding you. Work is more fun than play. I said work is more fun than play. I said work is more fun than play. But you said not for me. I know. That's everything about you is depraved. Your appetite's depraved. Rather eat junk than eat the food God made. And rather play than work. Why? Because of depravity. Let me tell you something. There's not anything in this world that will make you happier than work. Tell you what you fellows do. You just take off for about a week and just stay at home. You'll be talking to a lawyer. Just take off and just, oh, all I want to do, I'm just going to stay home and watch television. So what happens? You watch a program. This guy strangles this gal, hangs her husband, shoots her kids, and there you are. You're having fun. You know, let me tell you, kid can't wait to Halloween. To go be scared to death. Hey, stand in line by jump. Well, I mean, I went out there with our kids to the Great America. I mean, folks are paying. We stood in line for one ride an hour and 15 minutes just to get our fool selves scared to death. I mean, listen, you're looking at an idiot. Hush it, hold it. I mean, you're looking at an idiot. I stood in line an hour and 15 minutes to go round and round upside downers. What? It is depravity. Depravity. We have swallowed the devil's recipe for rest, and nobody who plays will rest. And nobody who slumbers too much will rest. Jesus said, if you won't rest, he said, take my yoke upon you. I'm going to bust my eye here. Take my yoke. Hit my glasses. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and ye shall find rest. Let me tell you how to ruin your child. Don't give him any responsibilities. Number two, keep him from the tough life you had. Just say to yourself, I don't want my child have to go through what I had to get up in the morning at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I had to go out in the field and work, and I don't want my child to go through that. Okay, then you be sure he doesn't, and let him lay there in bed till 8, 9, and 10, and 11 o'clock in the morning, and let him lay there and turn over and rot, and he'll die someday, and unless he gets saved, he goes to hell. But if he lives, he'll have a miserable life. Why? Because he didn't have any rest. Give him a yoke, or run him. Give him no chores. Never let his hand get a blister on it. Let that precious little darling girl grow up without ever one time doing the family ironing. You say for the house, I'm a teenager, and you're trying to hurt me. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to give you the richest life you'd ever have in the world. And then, by the way, if he does do any work, by all means, pay him for it. Pay him. So if you don't have any money, he'll say, how much do I get for that? Nothing. Oh. Let me tell you something. You know what? You know, did you ever hear of room and board? I mean, it's a privilege for a kid to have a place to live, have a roof over his head, and a table to eat at, and a bed to sleep in, and food to eat. He ought to have to work some. Some of you kids are saying right now,
"No, I don't like that." And that's why you got that kind of look on your face, too.
Listen, you look at the countenance of lazy kids. Sullen. Look at them. Look at them. You look at the countenance of some young lady who was taught to wash and iron at home and clean the house, and some young boy worked in the yard and had chores. Look at his countenance. It's always, "How do you do with the house?" I can see him. Young folks in the district that have the yoke, they say, they meet me and say, "Hello, Brother Hiles." They'll say, "Welcome home." I've always been somewhere. Welcome home. But the lazy guy, the guy that doesn't work, the guy that has the yoke, got his hands in his pocket. My mama used to say to me, "Keep your hands out of your pocket when you walk down the street." I didn't know why. I still don't know why she meant it. But I don't do it. You won't see me walking down the street like this. No way. No, sir. He's got his hand in his pocket. You speak to him. You know why? He's miserable. Why? He has no yoke. He's lazy. Jesus said, if you want to have a rest, he said, take my yoke. Not the bridle, the yoke. You want to ruin him? Make him miserable? Don't make him clean his room. Don't make her clean her room. And don't teach her iron or sew or cook. I want to say this. It's a sin for a woman who can cook to rear a girl who can't cook. If you've got one of these little brides that spends more time at the dresser than she does at the kitchen sink, I'll tell you what. I'll give you permission. Go slug your mother-in-law. Special dispensation from the Pope himself. Spirit's moving, isn't it? I'm saying it's a sin like drinking is sin. I'm saying it's a sin like cheating is sin. I'm saying it's a sin like adultery is sin. It's a sin like murder is sin. It's a sin like smoking is a sin. For somebody to grow up in your house who someday is going to be a cook and a housekeeper, and you not to teach that girl to bear the yoke, she won't be happy either. Not at all. She gets married, and she won't eat out every night. And after he eats one of the meals, he'll want to eat out. Ever not. You want a rare kid to go to the devil? Then feel sorry for him if he has to work. Yeah, say, bless his heart. If he has to work his way through college, pity him. If she has to wait on tables, pity her. I'll tell you something. I don't pity those girls out to college that wait on those tables. I don't pity those girls that have to scrub those floors. I don't pity them at all. Boy, I'll tell you what, I just thank God for what she's going to offer her husband one of these days. Let him sleep and lay around. You know, I thank God when I was 10 years old, I sewn a paper out, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. I thank God that before I was out of high school, I worked in a grocery store, service station. I worked in a battery factory. Thank God I knew how to pick cotton, milk a cow. I never did enjoy that. Hang drywall. The time I was 19, 20 years old. Lay floor. Plow. Somebody's saying, "Well, Brother Hiles, I'm tired of hearing about the old days." You need to hear about the old days, Buster. You need to hear about the old days when folks worked. Jesus said, if you want to rest, come to me. I'll give you rest. Lord, which bed? I'll give you rest.
Lord, which recliner?
I'll give you rest.
What channel?
I'll give you rest. Stereo? I'll give you rest. What park? I'll give you rest. What zoo? I'll give you rest. What? Where is it? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you.
You need a yoke. Oh, I want to tell you something. I probably shouldn't say this. No, this is not mean. You Pharisees.
The last year, financially, has been the hardest year on Russell Anderson since I've known him. And since it's been the hardest year on Russell financially, it's been the hardest year on me financially. No, he never gives me. I don't ask him for a thing. It's always for the work. But anyway, it's been tough. I mean, the poor guy is having to just limp along on a few hundred thousand years. But it's been the hardest year. The truth is, Russell Anderson has laid off his men that loaded the drywall trucks. You know who loads the drywall trucks? Russell Anderson. Yeah, he goes out there and the old drywall and loads those drywall trucks. And you know who? He has a health food store. You know, I called the other day and talked to him. You know who is waiting on folks in the health food store? Russell Anderson. The other day he went with me out to Pasco, Washington for a trip. And I said, Russ, I found myself wanting to pay the bill. And then I got worried. I think I'm not well. No joke. But I said, Russ, I'm sorry about your business being down. And Russell said to me, I am happier than I've ever been. He said, Brother Hyle, he said, I'm not making a fraction of money I used to make. But he said, I've never been as happy and enjoyed the work like I do now. You know why? Because there's a guy worth $7 million that's still in the yoke. He's working. You want to find some miserable millionaires? They're in Hawaii. They're in the Bahamas. Yeah. They're in the Caribbean. And they'll go from there to Florida and from there to Palm Springs and from there to Southern California and from there they'll go to a tour of England and from there they'll go somewhere else and they're miserable. Why? Because nobody is happy unless he has a yoke. Now, I'm not saying that it's ever wrong to play. Always wrong to play. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you're playing too much. And I will tell you, according to how much you work is how much rest you feel. We want a bridle. We want a pleasure ride. A horse show. A horse race. God said, if you want peace, if you want rest, he said, take my yoke. You know who's miserable? This floozy gal that's rich, that has her breakfast brought to her in the parlor. Carries their glasses on a stupid stick. Anybody who carries their glasses on a stick is a crazy fool. That's what these sideboards are for here on your head. Matilda, bring my yellow chiffon. I don't know what that is. Probably some kind of an ice cream. I don't know. Chauffeur, motor me to the hair saloon. I'm in salon. Ms. Anderson does her own housework. I'm not talking about you ladies have to work. Have somebody do housework. I know. I know what you 9 o'clock risers and 9:30 go back to bedders. You're miserable. Miserable. You know who's happy? Gal that cleans her own sink, commode, lavatory, does her own floors, washing, ironing. Oh, you say, it's 9 o'clock at night, and you say, oh, I'm exhausted. Well, honey, your body's exhausted at 9 o'clock at night. That's what that bed's for. You need to announce to the whole world. Every time you get tired, announce to the whole world. Because you're the first person since Adam that got tired.
Say another thing, too.
I was going to South America to preach. Remember? Several years ago. Many years ago. And I was going to fly to New York City on a Sunday afternoon and go to some church there in New York City, get there late afternoon, and then take a flight to South America, Brazil, Argentina, Texas, somewhere in South America. And so it was in May. Forrest Depper drove me to the airport. It was in May. And on the way to the airport, we went through a snowstorm. And I got to O'Hara Field waiting for a flight to go to New York City, and it snowed, and snowed, and snowed in May. I mean, inches and inches. And the planes couldn't take off, set out to the airport. Finally got a plane and got to New York City, and my plane had just taken off. Well, I had to get out one terminal, and I had about 10 minutes before the plane took off. Well, I had to go out and catch a bus and go to another terminal. There are all the terminals around in Kennedy Airport there. They're around, like TWA has one here, a few yards down the way, American has one, and so forth. And so I had to go one terminal to another, and I got there, and the plane was just taking off. I could see it. If not, going South America. There I was stuck. But guess what? My luggage didn't have to catch the bus. My luggage, they took it off the plane and rushed over there, and I watched my luggage take off for South America. Well, I had a... I said, when can I get it back? And they said, when's the next flight down there? They said, in 2 days. Well, good night. I was only going to speak 2 days. When's the next flight back? And they said, had a whole day there and before to come back Tuesday morning or something. And so, I don't know what I'll do. I am going to get me a room, and I am going to rest. I got me a room in an Intercontinental Hotel there. And I decided to take a day off. I picked up the newspaper. And, well, I slept that morning. I slept from 9 o'clock. Man alive. I just turned over and warm one side, and then it got warm the other side. And heard a preacher the other day, the way I like to sleep is just halfway in between. Asleep enough to be asleep, but awake enough to know you're asleep. If you're not awake enough to know you're asleep, you won't know you're asleep. If you don't know you're asleep, you won't enjoy your sleep. So I am. Boy, you just turn over and go back to sleep and then wake up and then and got about 9 or 9:30 or 10 o'clock that morning. Man alive, I've been needing a day of rest for a long time. Boy, I thought it looked so good, rested. Got to bed that night by 9. Slept about 12, 12 and a half, 13 hours. Woke up, I said, now what does a guy do on a day off? I hadn't known. Picked up the paper, and I said, there's bound to be something I do. So I saw that the New York Mets were playing the Atlanta Braves at Shea Stadium. So I called a cab, and I said, drive me. The game started at noon. I said, drive me in to Shea Stadium. He said, okay, this is a short drive. Got down to Shea Stadium. Man, I felt like I was 10 years younger. Walked up. Ticket, buy a ticket. And the fellow at the ticket counter said, sir, you don't have to pay. You get in free today. And I said, why? He said, this is Senior Citizens Day. Yeah. That's what you look like when you had 13 hours sleep. And I said, do me a favor. He said, what? I said, drop dead. I walked back to the cab. I said, did I get a cab? My driver was still there. I said, take me back to my room. So I went back to my room. Whole rest of the day off. About noon. Well, what do you do? What do you do? I know, you turn on some soap opera. And what does that do? You get yourself all worked up about somebody else's problems. Yeah. She's leaving him. Oh. Boy, that's wonderful, isn't it? What a way to live.
What do you do?
So what happened? That night, I was off schedule. Couldn't go to sleep. Now, I'm the kind of fellow that I go to sleep. That's what I go to bed for. Like John Rice used to do. I go to sleep. And but that night, I couldn't sleep. Just couldn't. I'm telling you what. I was a miserable wretch. Woke up next morning, sleepy, eyes red, senior citizen. And I said, God, deliver me. Never taking another day of rest. Hey, it's called Blue Monday. You know why? Hey, why? Because it takes you 2 days of rest to get real blue. Not Blue Tuesday. Blue Monday. You know why? Because after you worked on Monday, you have rest. Worked on Tuesday, you have rest. I better get off this. I got some more points here. Now, I want you to notice something beautiful here. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What? That's not the way you learn of Jesus, is it? Plowing? Huh? Yeah. How you learn about Jesus? Working. Working. You want to learn about Jesus? Get your bus route. Want to learn about Jesus? Get your Sunday school class and do what Toby Weaver's class did this morning. Want to learn about Jesus? Work for him. Said, notice now. Didn't say. Take systematic theology 431 and learn of me. Now, I'm not against systematic theology 431. I don't think I am. I never got that far, but I don't think I am. But you won't learn of Jesus there. No way. You want to learn about somebody? Work with them. Work with them. That's where you learn about them. He said to take my yoke upon and learn from me. How do you learn about Jesus? Theology class? No. How you learn about Jesus? A Bible study? No. How you learn about Jesus? Books by Peek or Watchman Nee? No. How you learn about Jesus? Deeper life? No. How you learn about Jesus? Bible classes, Bible studies, home Bible leagues, home Bible studies? No. How you learn about Jesus? Turn on a Christian station and listen all day? No. How you learn about Jesus? Take His yoke upon you and go to work for Him. That's the way you learn about Him. Well, we got a bunch of so-called self-styled deeper lifers around the country. Don't believe in soul winning. Don't believe in hard work. Don't believe in bus routes. Try and teach you about Jesus. They don't even know anything about Him. I'll tell you. Hey, I'll tell you who knows the farmer best. His wife? No. Who knows the farmer best? His children? No. Who knows the farmer best? Farmer next door, down the road? No. Who knows the farmer best? His mule. His mule. Why? He's in the yoke. He's in the yoke. I'll tell you the ones who know me best, those who work with me. The same yoke. I knew John Rice well. I played golf with him one time in 22 years. And I never played again. I would never play again with him. When a 75-year-old man beats you playing golf, it's not fun to play again. I bowled with him twice. I didn't learn anything about him there. We got on the same yoke for 22 years and helped carry this country on our shoulders. I got to know him. If you want to know Jesus, take his yoke upon you. You'll find rest and also you'll learn about him. If you want to learn to preach, you won't learn to preach in homiletics class, and I'm not against homiletics class. I'm for it. But you won't learn to preach there. You learn to preach on the street corner. You won't learn to too. If you want to learn child psychology, you won't find it in Child Psychology 231. Now, I'm not against that. I'm for it. But if you want to learn child psychology, get your bus route.
That's where you get your child psychology. You learn child psychology with the yoke. You learn to preach with the yoke. You want to learn to be a soul winner, you don't learn it in Soul Winning 131. You learn it knocking on doors. You don't learn to swim. You don't learn it in a schoolroom, classroom on how to swim. You get in the water. Most everybody in this room learned how to swim because somebody just tossed you in. He said, if you want to learn how to cook, you don't learn it by watching. What's that sissy guy that's on television? Now, I can't comprehend a man teaching cooking. I'm probably in trouble. I've got four men. And it's not sinful. It's just dumb. Yeah.
And now, 2 tablespoons full of opium.
Is that bad?
Stir gently.
The only way that sissy can stir.
Stir gently. And beat with an egg beater till it comes to a high fluff. Then add a pinch of salt. And you'll like it.
You won't learn how to cook watching him. You know how you learn how to cook? Cooking. Cooking. If you want to learn about Jesus, you take his yoke upon you. Now, folks, I can save 1,000 of your trips to the psychiatrist. I can save 1,000 of your nervous breakdowns. Folks have stayed busy. Old Dr. Rice used to say to me, he'd maybe take a, maybe his kids would come home for a day or two. And Dr. Rice take a half a day with his daughters and grandchildren. Next morning he'd come to me and he'd say, boy, he said, a little of this play goes a long way. Now I'm going to confess something. Physically. When I walked in this pulpit tonight, I was just about as tired as I've been in 10 years. Just about as physically tired as I've been. And you know what? I feel great. I feel great. And boy, if you could take it, we'd have a preach-a-thon. I mean, we would. I feel great. I mean it. You know why? Because I'm in the yoke. And I've got rest. I have walked in pulpits across this country and have been, my mind has been so tired and so weary, I can get on an airplane. Say I'm flying to the West Coast and I can be mentally tired. Pick up a newspaper and read the sport page and be worn out. Pick up the financial report of the church, check on it, plan a spring program, prepare a sermon, dictate a few chapters in the book, and boy, when I get off the airplane, I'm ready to go. You know why? Because I got my yoke, and I found rest. I found rest. And that's why you got your problems tonight. Are you folks now? You know who the folks are tonight who are sleeping? Most of them are the folks who have been resting all day. Yeah. Because every once in a while I try to sleep till about 7:30 in the morning, and it ruins me. Just absolutely ruins me. I am not fit for anything worthwhile for 2 or 3 hours. And neither are you. But you say, preacher, I just don't bounce out of bed like you. I don't bounce out of bed either. I thud out of bed. Uh, Oh, me. And yet the truth is, the old alarm goes off. When I'm on the road, I keep three alarms. Three. Sometimes they call the office and have them call me too. I set the alarms about 2 minutes difference. So when the first one goes off, I can say, that's not the one. Huh? You've been there, haven't you? That's not the one. Second one goes off. I said, I still got another 2 minutes. Third one goes off. I drop. And try to figure out who I am. And then where I am. And then what I am. Some mornings, if I am. But man, when I get up and get my yoke and get in the yoke and work, I feel great. The Lord Jesus, talking about judgment, he said, woe unto you, Chorazin! Come on, you Bethsaida! The work's been done in you, but done in Tyre and Sidon, that repented in the sackcloth and ashes long time ago. Be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah the day of judgment than for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Well, I sure need rest, Lord. I'm worn out. I need rest. I come to him. Now, what is it? He says, this yoke over here. You know how to get to know Jesus? Huh? You get the yoke with him. And the two of you pulling the same yoke together. And you get to know him. Jesus said, take. Now follow me carefully. I'm finished. He said, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? That means that he is the other half. And you're plowing with Jesus. Yeah. And when you plow with Jesus, it's never dull. And while you plow with him, you find rest. And you learn of him and find rest to your soul. Most nervous bunch of students at Hiles Anderson College are the ones that don't study. And the most rested ones are the ones that do study. Ones that do study. You want rest? The yoke's where you find it. Not the bridle, but the yoke. You want to learn about Jesus? Huh? You do it in the yoke. Not the bridle, but the yoke. Father, bless the message. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. I wish my people could understand this truth. I wish that the folks here could see the great truth. I'm no philosopher, but no philosopher ever gave better philosophy than this been given tonight. I'm no psychologist, but no psychologist ever gave better psychology than what's been preached tonight. Dear Lord, our country could be salvaged if we'd heed what's been preached tonight. Amen.